Our next speaker will be Liz Schwarte, and Liz is my associate at Samuels & Associates. She's a senior associate, and she's going to be talking about the after-school program findings for the Healthy Eating Active Communities Initiative, which we're evaluating and with many partners who are here in the room. So Liz, do you want to come up?
Really worried that those lights were not going to go back on because I don't see very well in the dark, so this is much better. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Is anyone feeling in need of some physical activity right about this point? That I am. So I will be presenting findings from the after-school physical activity assessment in the HEAC program. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So let's just start off by acknowledging a few people who are very involved in this research. And it is, as Sarah mentioned, a very collaborative effort of grantees, funders, technical assistance providers, and the evaluators in this initiative, which has been underway for several years now and has been extended to 2010. But specifically, I'd like to thank Brian Cole, who's also in the audience, who took the lead on the design and analysis of the physical activity level data, and our colleague at Samuels & Associates, Sally Yoshida, who headed up the analysis of the physical activity environment data. So who in the room is familiar with HEAC? Okay, a few people. In a nutshell, it is a program funded by the California Endowment in six communities across California to improve nutrition and physical activity environments through policy change, resulting in lower obesity rates in these communities. And in each of these six communities, we have a partnership of a school, that is also engaged in the after-school programs, a health department, and a community organization. And in all of the six HEAC sites, there's been a lot of effort put into improving the after-school environment, both the nutrition environment and the physical activity environment. So I'll be presenting just the physical activity side of that today. And the data that I'm presenting were collected in 19 HEAC after-school programs across the six sites. We collected the data at baseline in 2005, and this coming spring we will be collecting our endpoint data and hopefully sharing some comparison findings with you in the future. So I'm going to begin with just a few findings from what we call our environmental assessment tool. This is really an observational tool of the environment. So it's kind of an inventory of what type of programming is available, what types of physical activity is occurring in the after-school program. And we also wanted to look at whether participation in PA, which I'm going to use probably from this point forward to refer to as physical activity, whether it was mandatory or voluntary. So just a quick breakdown on those 19 after-school programs. Six were at the elementary level, nine at middle school level, and two at the high school level, and then also two at an all-ages level, meaning that there were multiple ages participating in the program. One of the programs, the high school level programs, did not have a physical activity and component. And of these 19, 16 were school-based and three were community-based. So we see from this slide that participation in structured play in the HEAC after-school programs is largely voluntary at about 56%. And by structured play, what we mean is an organized activity where there's some type of involvement from a teacher or a coordinator or instructor. And then when we look at free play, we see that 88% of the programs did not require participation in free play in their programs. So of these 19 programs, we had a real variety. You know, some were more focused on academic enrichment. Others offered a variety of arts programs. It really varied from community to community. This slide simply shows that the middle schools offer 2 times the average daily minutes of total play, which is a combination of structured and free play, than the elementary programs. So that it was in those 9 middle school programs that we saw an average of 101 minutes. And then if we compare our programs, looking at the average daily minutes of total play when we're combining all of the grades, we see that 18 programs offered at least 30 minutes of physical activity, and that 7 of the 18 programs that had physical activity offered an average of 60 to 90 minutes of physical activity per day. So we then categorized the physical activity opportunities in a number of ways, and I'm just going to share a couple of the findings with you today. But when we looked at competitive and or non-competitive activities in after-school programs, what we did was classify what we saw by using definitions developed by the American College of Sports Medicine. And we found that most of the HEAC programs actually offered a combination of both competitive and non-competitive types of activities. So before we move on to the actual physical activity level findings, we wanted to just share a couple of highlights and summary then from the environmental assessment. So we saw that the participation in the structured play was mostly by choice or mostly voluntary. And we also saw that at least 18 of the programs, meaning all of the programs that had physical activity, had at least 30 minutes of physical activity. And that the majority of programs offered both types of activities. I think that there's an additional point to make here that's very important, and that is that after-school programs really offer the opportunity to provide additional opportunities for physical activity that are not being met necessarily in our school PE programs. I think we're probably all familiar that although some schools may be meeting the required number of minutes of PE, that doesn't mean that the time is actually active. So we in HEAC are looking at the after-school program as a continuum, as a seamless continuum during the day that just offers additional physical activity opportunities to children. Okay, just very quickly before we dive into the very interesting findings from the physical activity level assessment, these of course are the various settings in which a child might have an opportunity for physical activity. There's before school and the way to school, during PE, recess, sports or extracurricular activities, and after school, and then out of school time, which is anything beyond the school day and on the weekends. And of course, we're not seeing the levels of recommended physical activity in children in these settings, and that is because there are many constraints in those environments to actual physical activity. A little bit on the methodology that we used in conducting our physical activity level assessments. We adapted the SOFIT tool, which was developed at San Diego State University, and that stands for the System for Observing Fitness Instruction Time. And we basically retained many of the features of this tool. We did make a couple of changes. We reduced the 1 to 5 item scale to 4 items: lying down, standing, walking, and running. And when we refer to moderate to vigorous physical activity, or MVPA, it's referring to levels 3 and 4. But otherwise, we followed the basic protocol, and we have used that assessment in a number of our studies, and have also, in other studies, expanded that assessment to look at instructor behavior and lesson context, which are a part of the original SOFIT. So again, these are the HEAC after-school programs, and when we were on site collecting our other data, we observed a physical activity period, and it might have been structured or unstructured, and the actual duration of these physical activity periods was from 2 minutes, so very, very brief, to 2 hours. So it's quite a range. Okay, diving into the findings. What this slide shows is that the elementary school programs had the lowest or smallest proportion of physical activity period in moderate to vigorous physical activity. And when we look at the duration of physical activity by the number of sites, we see that about 7 of the sites are clustered in that 30 to 39 minute period. We then wanted to look at the total minutes of the PEA session by the grade level. So I'm going to walk us through just a number of different lenses from which to look at these data from. And we see that, again, the middle school physical activity sessions were longer. And because of that, they provided more opportunity for what we're referring to as moderate to vigorous physical activity. And then looking at a comparison of structured versus unstructured programs, we found that those programs that had structured activities also offered longer physical activity sessions, again, allowing for more opportunity for moderate to vigorous physical activity. We also wanted to look at the size of the class. Of course, there's been, you know, a lot of discussion in the literature and in the field about the size of the group participating in physical activity, with the much smaller group being the more desirable group. And we found that groups of fewer than 20 students spent more time in moderate to vigorous physical activity. And then flipping this around a little bit to look at the daily minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity by group size, what we learned was that although the percent of the physical activity session in MVPA was higher for the smaller groups, as we saw in the previous slide, there was actually was no difference in the total minutes. And that is due mostly to the fact that some of the classes were small. Of the small classes had very, very brief physical activity sessions. And then when we controlled for structure in our findings, we learned that MVPA was actually not affected by class size. So, and this is really the key finding here, and that is that the biggest difference between unstructured and structured sessions is driven by the duration of the program. So in other words, the longer the better. And then we also learned that beyond 30 minutes, whether the session is structured or unstructured actually makes very little difference. So I'll just conclude with a few policy implications from these findings. And I think the first bullet builds on a point that I made earlier, in that after-school programs really have an important role in providing physical activity opportunities to our youth, and that we need to make sure to set aside time for these physical activity opportunities. And in a sense, after-school programs face the same challenges that schools face in terms of you know, needing to protect that time when there's a lot of pressure to use the after-school period to play catch-up from the school day in terms of preparing for testing or for doing homework. And if we are going to maximize the amount of time that our kids spend in MVPA, we're going to really need to advocate that the sessions be 30 minutes or longer. So we really want to ensure that the period is long enough. And then, of course, we want to make sure that we are disseminating our best practices around physical activity and after-school programs. This is my contact information. If you have any questions or you'd just like to talk about the findings, please contact us. So thank you.
Any questions for Liz?
Where are they located, the communities in HEAC? They span from northern to southern California, and the communities are Shasta, Oakland, which is in Alameda County in southern California. We have Baldwin Park, Santa Ana, South Los Angeles, and Chula Vista here in San Diego.
There are a couple of HEAC site, a number of the site coordinators who are here, and several presentations during APHA from the sites themselves. Yeah, Deborah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. It varies. We actually did not collect that data at baseline, but we are planning to collect it when we conduct the study again this coming spring.
What was
So what was the environment around the school like? Mm-hmm. And it really varies, again, across the six HEAC programs. We have one site that is very rural, so that would be the Shasta site. And the other sites are mostly urban. So there are public transportation opportunities, but as we have found in many of our other studies, there are a lot of issues around walkability, either due to the conditions of the roads or lack of traffic signals or safety issues. And in even some of the communities, there is a lack of sidewalks. So it is not an environment that's particularly hospitable to physical activity. I'm just going to say this pretty anecdotally. I just remember of the programs we visited at Baseline, I don't think any of them had a cost actually, but we'll continue to ask that.
There were one or two community programs, and the rest were on the school campus.
Right, they were primarily on the school campus. And actually, that reminds me, if I may very quickly, I wanted to make one point while presenting the findings, and that is that we are in somewhat of a unique situation here in California, and that we have what is called Prop 49 that authorized resources to establish many new after-school programs in California that are affiliated in some way with schools. They can actually be community-based. And in addition to that infusion of resources that we had the benefit of here, the California Department of Education has also developed guidelines around physical activity for after-school programs that are voluntary, but that a number of the HEAC sites are planning to implement during the remainder of the program.
And I also wanted to mention Arnell Hinkle is here, who's providing technical assistance to the after-school programs that are participating in the HEAC initiative. And so with her organization, they may have more information about the specifics also of these groups. Our next, and actually I forgot to announce, there is a sign-up sheet that if you could pass that around, and on each side here for committees, for anyone who wants to join any of the food and nutrition section committees or committees within the physical activity SPIG. Our next speaker is Linda Schack with Prevention Institute, and she's going to be talking about Environmental Nutrition and Activity Community Tool Enact, which is a tool for promoting physical activity through organizational practice and policy change. Linda is a program manager at the Prevention Institute and provides training and consultation around the country to a variety of organizations, including the National Association of Latino Elected Officials, the CDC STEPS communities, and the Kaiser Healthy Eating Active Living communities. She's involved with the Strategic Alliance, and we do partner quite a bit with Prevention Institute. And Linda's going to be talking about the Enact tool. Linda.
Well, I'm wondering if people could do me a favor.